Okay, this morning, you know what chapter we'll be in? 43. We're getting pretty close to three quarters of the way through this book. It's a big old book, I'm telling you. Okay, we'll be in chapter 43, and I'm going to read it first, and we'll come back and break it down. Now thus has the Lord that created you, Jacob, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since you was precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed, and when there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praises, but you have not called upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary with me, O Israel. You have not brought me the small cattle of your burnt offerings, neither have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with an offering, nor wearied you with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have made me to serve with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that you may be justified. Your first father has sinned, and your teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have defiled or profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. And boy, is there some good stuff in this one. I like it. Go back and look at it. Verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created you. That little word O in front of Jacob and in Israel, every time you see it, just mark it out because it's never in the writings. That's just the translators putting that in there. So he just says, I created you, Jacob, and that formed you, Israel. Okay? Realize this is not two men. It's the same man that's been converted. You remember Jacob wrestled all night long, and when the morning came up, everything changed. Guess what? His name was what?
Israel.
His name was now Israel. This is something going on inside of each one of us. You know, Jesus taught that there was two men in the earth, wasn't there? One has to be taken away. One has to be done away with. That's that nature of Jacob, that wild-ass nature that we have to get rid of, that beastly nature. And we have to realize it's for a purpose. It's not to be despised, but it's here for a purpose. This beast nature is what's carrying us through this journey. Do you realize that? That beast nature, this fleshly body, is carrying us through this journey. At the end of the journey, we'll take this suit off and we won't need it anymore. Okay? We're done with it. So it's nothing to be despised. It's something to be used. And I'm not trying to preserve my body to look like one of these Vogue magazine models. Okay? I am using it. It's meant to be used, isn't it? I'm not trying to... They're not going to say, gosh, I wonder why he looked so good and he died. You know, they're going to wonder, how did he live? He used so much of it. I'm going to wear it out. Okay? That's the purpose of it.
Would it be temporal?
It's all temporal, absolutely. It's just something to get us through this journey. And he said, fear not, because I have redeemed you. Now, notice the word redeemed is ED.
Past tense.
Past tense. I have called you, past tense, by your name. See, he didn't call him Jacob. He called him now what?
Israel.
He called him by who he really was, the inner man, the Christ, right? And he said, I called you by your name. I told you who you really was. But now, in this journey, that's what it's all about, is you finding out who you really are. Would you understand that? Do you understand that? It's a journey to find out who we are. When we really find out who we are, the struggle's over. Now we can accomplish what we have to accomplish. You are mine. Did he say you're going to be mine someday?
No, he said you
are. It says another place, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Right? So why do we keep squalling and wanting what we want? If we are owned by the master, we're not our own, are we? So why does a servant yell to the master about not getting what he wants? It's the master's responsibility to take care of the servant, correct? So take care of me. It's that simple. It's a concept that simple. But see, our mind, those cherubim in our mind racing and telling us all kinds of things, implanting fear and condemnation and guilt in our minds, that destroys us. That devil, you know, doing it. But that thing is in our mind, doing it all the time. That natural mind is warring with the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. It said, when you pass through the waters, and that word when is not a correct word, okay? You know what it should say? As.
Because it's in present tense. Making it present tense.
Yeah, it's in present tense. If you read past tense, do you live past tense?
No.
Do you live future tense?
No.
You got to see this as a now time for us. Everything, it's got to be now. The only time it can affect me is now.
First two is for me this week.
Sure it is. Coincidence and timing, right? Yeah. He said, I've redeemed you, I've called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. As you walk, not when, but as you walk through the fire, that's, you know, it could be literal or figurative, right? A lot of symbolic things going on in your head, okay? All that internal fire. You shall not be burned. It will change you, but it will not destroy you. Fire does not destroy. If you look up in the word and really understand what fire does, fire always changes the chemical or physical properties of something. If you take a piece of wood and put it in the fire and burn it, it always changes it into a, not from a physical form, but into a gas form. From a solid to a gas. And which way does it travel?
Up.
So when God places us in a fire, since the natural teaches us about the spiritual, a natural fire changes physical solid things into gaseous things and raises them up. So when God places us in a fire, He changes our natural way of thinking into a spiritual way of thinking, which is upward.
A higher
way, as Isaiah called it. Like in the Revelation, the Spirit says, come on up here. Come on up. See, He's enticing you to come up. If you won't come up, then He has to light a fire under you to get you up. But you'll get up, won't you?
Refiner's
fire or consuming fire, absolutely. One way or the other, He will get you where He wants you to be. Verse 3, it says, because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your deliverer. You were already saved before the foundation of the world. I don't care how many altars we went and cried and slobbered on, how many times we were dunked in the creek with the crawdads and the tadpoles, that had nothing to do with when you were saved. You were saved when the Lamb was slain on the cross. Can we agree to that? And it says He was the Lamb slain before the conception of the world. Okay? So there's no saving now, is there? But there's delivering now. He said, I gave Egypt, that's the world, for your atonement, and Ethiopia and Seba for you. Ethiopia speaks of the word Cush, which means black. Okay? What does black represent?
Ignorance.
And Seba is the son of Cush or Ethiopia. So what is that? The son of ignorance. See? That's the natural all the way. That's the first two realms too, if you want to look at it that way. Verse 4 goes on and says, since you not were, but are, present tense, right? Since you are precious in my sight, you are honorable. Not have been, but you are honorable. Present tense again, right? You see that? You got to make this present tense. This book is written to you, Mike, isn't it? And I got to know that Mike lives right now. Mike's got to know he lives right now. And I got to put this in a present tense to be any reality in my life. Right? And you are honorable, and I love you. Not I have loved you, I love you. Right now. It doesn't mean, he's loved you since you've ever been. Okay? He said, I love you. Therefore will I give, what's that word there? Adam, mankind. I'll give mankind for you. And the word and shouldn't be, it should say this, I give humanity for you, the people for your life. But see, because people are not our life. People is not their life. The life is Him. The God in us is our life. Is that true? See, it's not about the natural flesh body. That's not life. That's temporal. Life is God within us, the Spirit. So He's telling you, I'm going to give you humanity. I'm going to trade the humanity for your life. And my life is Him. It's hid in Christ. Fear not again, because I am what?
In you.
Not with you.
Yeah.
I am in you. That's the greatest thing you could ever know. He's not hanging around as your buddy. He's in you. He is the sole factor of everything in your life going down. That's the one right there. It's God in you. I will bring your seed from the east, and I will gather you from the west. That's a cycle. Where does the sun come from?
East.
And it goes down in the west. That's the beginning and the ending, isn't it? In our cycle of a day, rising and setting. So when there's seed sown, it's always harvested at the end. You know, it's a process. He said, I'm going to bring it all. He's just showing you that cycle. And He said, I will say to the north. The word north is also symbolic of darkness or ignorance. He said, I'm going to say to the ignorance, Not give up, but give them up. I'm going to say to the ignorant, give them up, and to the south, keep them not back. Don't hold them back anymore. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And you know who he's talking about? First fruit. You bring them from wherever I've sent them. I've sent them on a journey, and they have to go. They're on a journey, and they have to go. But when I say come, they're going to come. That's the way it is. You can't worry about situations and conditions of this life. I know it's difficult, but if he called you, he equipped you, and you can do it. You can do things that you never thought your capacity could ever even begin to go to. You can do it because he called you. And if he called you, he equipped you. So don't worry about it. Fear not. Don't worry about the people that say you can't or you better not. You do what you know God has told you to do. Let it go. Don't worry about the rest of it. Oh, gosh. It's the cycle. It's coming around. I will... Actually, I did that. I think, verse 7. Even everyone... This is the rest of verse 6 going right into 7. Goes right together. Everyone that is called by my name, my nature and my character... Cross out the word for. It shouldn't even be there. So it should... The first word even shouldn't even be in verse 7. Should start out saying, everyone that is called by my name and nature... I have created him not for my glory, but I've created him my glory. Jesus is the head. True or false? Mm-hmm. We're the body. Jesus was the first. That's the only reason. What's the natural birth way? Head first. Hello. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. The head came first and the body's coming out now. They were never disconnected. They just didn't know who each other was yet. We were just in our understanding, we didn't know who we were. When he formed the first fruit in Genesis 1:1, he didn't make one man, did he? He made a many-membered body. Paul gave us that revelation in the New Testament. See, he showed us that we've never been separated. If you cut the head off of anybody, what'll happen? It'll die. There can't be no death in him. See, it's all life. So when he came forth, we came with him. Didn't he say it in Romans? When he died, you died with him. When he was crucified, when he was buried, you were buried with him, in him. And when he was resurrected, you did what?
Resurrected.
You resurrected in him. But see, we have to put this together in our mind. And them cherubim and that religion we hear from all phases of the earth out here is telling us, no, 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 you're not. You're not as good as. And God said, no, you're mine. I bought you with a price. I have equipped you. I have prepared you. I've put you in place. And you can do anything I ask you to do. Oh, God, help us. I have formed him. I have made him. And then he says, bring forth. He's talking to the north and the south and the east and the west. He says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf people that have ears. Bring them forth. That was us. We were blind and deaf, but we had ears and eyes, but they hadn't been unstopped yet, had they? They hadn't been opened up. Let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. If not, let them hear and say it's truth. You know what? All I can say is it's truth. I know what's truth. I don't say I believe anything. And probably in the last few months, I've come to not even like to hear I believe. I don't even like to hear it because I know it's an incomplete thought process. Just like saying I think. Well, if I'm thinking or I believe, I still haven't come to the I know yet. I need to come, and you need to come to I know what I'm talking about. And that's not in arrogance, but that is in confidence. that I know. See, if you chase this thing out and you do what you're supposed to, listen to the guidance system that's within you, look through the scriptures and listen to what's going on inside of you, you'll know what the truth is. You'll know it. No doubt, you'll know it. And you can boldly proclaim anything you have to do. And so many of us say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit of Christ raises up in you, it'll be just like the disciples said. When did we ever see someone teach with such boldness? They don't teach like the Pharisees and the scribes. I don't want to, do you?
It'll come out as a natural tone to you. You want to be aware.
Yeah, you're not even aware of it. I know, I've had a lot of people tell me, I'm intimidating to people. Well, I'm sorry, I can only speak truth. And if that truth is intimidating to someone, then they need to do some work on it. They need to find out why it's intimidating them. Because it's not God, it's not me intimidating them, it's the truth that intimidates. Jesus intimidated all the religious folk, didn't he? So if you are walking in his footsteps, why wouldn't you intimidate people by just telling truth?
You would.
So you will do it, see?
It'll rock them out of their belief system.
And it's necessary. Jesus said, offenses must come. It's necessary. If I'm never offended, I'll never look to see if there's another way. Will I? Mm-hmm. See? I'll never look. I'll never change. So I need to be offended so I can find out what's going on. Didn't say easy, but it's there for a reason.
Well, if they're trying to believe, they're still in the processing stage of coming to something.
And that's not a bad place to be if you are progressively progressing, you know, if you're progressively moving along in your thinking. But most people come to a point and just lock her down.
Sometimes when you say, I believe, there's still doubt.
Oh, there's absolute doubt in there yet.
But unless you can show me, you know, that means you still have a little doubt in your mind.
Absolutely. There's doubt in there. That's the mixture. And that's why I say we have to progressively move on until we come to the I know. When you come to the I know, you're okay. You've got something. Okay, verse 10. You are my witnesses. Who's he talking about? First fruit. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord. Cross out that word and, because it's not like you're a witness and a servant. You're a witness servant. That word and is not in the writings anyway. It's added. Most of the time those words aren't. You are my witness, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. Did he say anybody volunteered for his choice there? See, so it didn't mean you made a decision for Jesus or you didn't do this or you didn't do that. He said, I chose you, right? That you, cross out the word may right there, because that's another added word. That you know and believe me. See? Not that you might know him or you may know him, but you know him and believe him. That you know him and believe him. That's the purpose. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now where do you think he's talking about this no God formed? What do you think he's talking about? In you. Before this, there was no, he said, before me, there was no other God formed in you. And after me, there will be no God formed in me. God, did you hear that? When I get done with you, I'm going to take your old heart out and give you a new heart. I'm going to take that old thinking process and give you a new one. There won't be no false gods in you, will there? When God gets through with you, what are you going to be? A full-grown, mature son of God. Nothing else. That ought to make you just about jump up and take a lap. Verse 11. It should, the first I and the first even are not there. It should, and the next word am is not there. So it should say, I the Lord. You can leave the am there. It doesn't hurt anything, but it's really not in the writing. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no what?
Deliverer.
Should be deliverer. He's already saved us, so we don't need a Savior anymore, do we? We need the deliverer. Let me go to Romans real quick. I think it's Romans 4. If I can get there real quick. Okay, Romans 5 is. I'm going to read verse 8 down. Well, I'm going back up to 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God introduced his love to us in that while we were yet extremely sinful, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, okay, we were rendered innocent, we are delivered from wrath through him. Because if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be delivered through his life. That's the resurrection. It's already done, and Paul's telling us the same thing in Romans that we're hearing in Isaiah. It's already done, isn't it? How many times he has to say it to make it true? God's not a man that he should lie. He only needs one. But for our hard heads, sometimes we need to hear it more than once. Okay? We've got to hear it multiple times. Verse 12. I have declared and have what? Delivered, and I have showed, and that word showed is not correct. It's the word shama. Shama means to hear intelligently with intent to respond positively. See? So what it should say is, I have declared and have delivered. I have caused you to hear when there was no strange God in you. Hello. Once we get rid of those idols in our mind, those preconceived ideas, those prejudices, those false images in our mind, when they're not you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to hear. You're going to hear clearly. You get that static off the line. You're going to hear clearly. And that's the only thing restricting us from hearing. Remember, God put those cherubim there for a reason, to keep us till the time pointed to the Father, right? When it's time, they're going to start being removed slowly, and we're going to start to see that picture. We're going to begin to hear the things that the Spirit says. And blessed is he that has ears to hear what the Spirit says. We can do it. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. See, people talk about God, but that's words. How many people live it and declare it by their lifestyle, not by standing on a street corner screaming at someone, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. But declare it by your lifestyle. Jesus never stood on the street corners and declared people sinful. He declared God's love. You know what? He gave a picture of love that someone's going to see. Something tangible that they can see. The love of somebody. Unconditional love. That's God. And that's what we have to declare to the world. And you know what? There's very few people doing it. It's not just feeding them and clothing them. There's a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more than that. Even the world takes care of that. Didn't he say even the Gentiles take care of their own, don't they? That's not the full picture. That's only partial. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Who is the day? The Christ. Before the Christ was, I am he. Before Christ, there was the Father. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let? That word let is incorrect. Literally it says, who can hinder it? Okay? But the word let in the English language back in the 1600s meant to stop. Okay? But our English language has changed. There's some in the New Testament. When Paul wanted to go into Asia, he was let by the Holy Spirit. He was stopped. He was hindered from going there. Okay? But today when we say we let somebody do it, it's no longer a restrictive word, but it's a permissive word. See, there's where translations and language changes. We have to really watch that we don't get caught up in that. We got to look at every aspect of it. So nobody can hinder it. See? So the word let here is not permissive, it's hindering. But it still, who can stop God? Plain and simple, nobody. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. This Redeemer is according to the Oriental law of kinship. If you are in the Oriental custom and a man dies, then the next living closest relative, what was his obligation?
Pay
to fulfill that relationship with your wife. Okay? Now we're looking at something. Look at Adam. Adam being our first father in the natural. And when Adam dies, guess what? We need a husband, don't we? And that husband is who? It's Christ. So he will come and fulfill that oriental custom, okay, of kinship, and he's going to be the one taking his place. That ought to tickle you pink. You ought to be happy about that. Get rid of the one and get the other. You know, get rid of the dirt bag and get the good one. See? Come on. But that's what it's talking about, that Redeemer, that one according to the Oriental law of kinship. And that's the message we need to see out of the shadows and types of that thing. The Holy One of Israel, okay? Because, or for your sake have I sent to Babylon. Oh, this is good. Where did he send it to? He sent to Babylon, religious confusion. Not just confusion, religious confusion. And I have brought down all their nobles. Now, you know what that word noble is? This is cute. God's got a real sense of humor.
Mine says fugitive.
Well, that's kind of close. But do you know what it literally says? Mm-hmm. Fleeing serpents. All the fleeing serpents. What was it that started the deception in the Garden of Eden?
Serpent.
A serpent. That same serpent, God said, I've already sent to Babylon, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. And the Chaldeans. Chaldeans are clod breakers. Remember he said you got to break up that fallow ground of your heart? Well, them Chaldeans, them situations in our life that give us such tremendous upheaval and we feel like we're just destroyed like some people have been this week. That's them Chaldeans that God sent in our life. And I don't care whether they carry a Catholic cross around their neck or a Baptist hairdo on their head or a Pentecostal dress on. They're still Chaldeans if God sends them to break up your clods. Okay? It don't make any difference where they come from. From the world or from the church system. What's the difference? The outer court doesn't mean a thing anyway. Okay? Don't worry about it. That's all man's ideas about things. It doesn't make any difference. It'll break up your clods. Whose cry or whose joy is, the Chaldean's joy, not cry, is in the ships. What's the ships made out of? Humanity. So their joy is in humanity. What they can do to humanity. Well, what they think they're doing to you to destroy you is the very thing that is completing you. So instead of rejecting, like the church world says, all the external pressures, we should be embracing those things. Those are the things that change me. Yeah, so if Teddy gives you a hard time, embrace her, brother. But serious, we have to learn to understand that this negative in life is there for our purpose. It's to help us grow to maturity. Without that opposition, we'll never grow. We'll stay as big chunks and clods of dirt, you know, instead of being the sons that we're supposed to be. I'm excited this morning. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but I am. I'm going to wake up all night with God talking to me. That's exciting anyway, and I haven't come down yet. Okay, verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, a nation, everybody thinks that I created Israel. They look at that as a nation. How could a nation be your king? See, it's about the inner man. It's about the God man inside of you. I created him. I'm the Creator of Israel. And thus says the Lord, which makes us a way or a course of life. He makes us a course of life in the sea. What's the sea?
Humanity.
It's the humanity. And a path in the mighty waters. Guess what? Same thing said twice, wasn't it? He made you a course of life, a path or a way, same thing. In the sea or in the deep waters. What difference does it make? It's the same thing he said twice. He put emphasis on it. I'm telling you, he's going to make you a way. Can you see what he's saying? He said it twice to put emphasis on it so you say, hey, look, God said he's going to do it. He even said it twice he's going to do it. So that means he put emphasis on that. I will make your way. Did he tell you to figure out a plan what you're supposed to do?
No.
Huh?
He said, directions are. I got your GPS.
You go with the Spirit of God. Why is there no pattern? You never hear anybody talk about it, but why is there no pattern in the New Covenant about how to have a service or run your life? Because it's supposed to be ran by the Spirit of God. Right? Instead of having somebody tell you what to do, you're supposed to hear God tell you what to do.
It has nothing to do with
a
church service.
No, it's a lifestyle. See, we already had enough church stuff back in the Old Testament. Now we got to walk it out. We got to be the service. We're the servant. Verse 17, he said, which brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, and they shall what? It says, lie down together. And literally, you know what it says? They shall all die together. He said he's taken all the strength, all of man's abilities of power through the chariot, the armies, the power. It's all going to die. Well, glory to God for that. The natural man has no more control, does he? It's all dying together. All the same. It's gone. They shall not rise. It's not coming back. Once he lays it down in you, it's over with. You're not going to have to go through that again, are you?
Good.
Thank God for that. They are extinct, he said. Something extinct's not coming back, is it? It's done. They are quenched as tow. And literally it says, they're quenched as the wick of a candle. You know when the candle's just smoldering a little bit, and you take and put your finger and your thumb on your tongue and go, shh, it's over. If God said it's quenched, guess what it is? It's quenched. And just that quick, he can take care of it. When it's time, it's over. And then he says, remember ye not, this is coming to you. Listen, whoever's hearing me, this is coming to you. Remember not the former things. Don't even consider the things of old. Forget the past. Remember the saying? There's no future in the past. And there is none for us. He's just told us. Don't even remember. Don't contemplate it. Forget what's happened and listen to what he's telling you today. Whatever the Spirit is telling you today, listen to that. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. It's gone. And tomorrow never gets here. The only day you got is today. Because as soon as you get to the next day, it's still today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything but right now, the now you're living in. And God will take care of it from there. I don't understand how he's took care of me, and I don't even really, and I'm not concerned about the details. The fact of the matter is, he's took care of me for all these years. That's all that matters. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now I will spring forth. He's going to show up. Shall you not know it? How could you not know it if he's doing it through you? You're the vessel. I'm going to spring up in you. How could you not know when God works through you? You're going to be the one expressing it. I guarantee you're going to know it. I will even make a way. Here it is again in the wilderness. In the dry area, I'm going to make a path, a course of life for you. And in the rivers in the desert, I'm going to put rivers in the desert. Rivers is a water supply. You're going to have all these rivers of living waters flowing through you in this dry place, and you won't even know where to come from. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. But it's going to surprise you still the same. It's still going to baffle you sometimes how God does what he does. But he said, I'm going to do it. There's going to be things come out of you that just blow your mind, and you're going to be thankful it does. Because your mind isn't what he's after. He wants your mind to be replaced by his mind. That old thinking order is gone. We got a new thinking order, and we believe. No, we don't. We know what he's saying to us. Okay? The beast of the field shall honor me. Man is but a brute beast. What the book says, we'll honor him. The dragons, the land monster, that's what that word really means for dragon, a land monster or a sea monster. So this monster in humanity, what is that called? Carnal mind, carnal mind. And the owls. And you know what that word, the root of that word literally means the daughters of the owls. Speaking of the female side, what's it talking about?
Soul.
The soul. So my natural man and my soulish man, will give honor to God because I give waters to them in the wilderness. He gives them something to survive with, and they're going to be thankful for it. But the reason that they're thankful is because he just gave them some water. Just a little bit. See? Just enough to keep them going. Just touch my tongue when Lazarus was in the hole, you know. Just a little water. He said, I'll give him waters of the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to. And he said, but the reason for it is not to supply the natural man or the soul, but it's for the spiritual people. He said, look at the last part of that verse. He said, rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. See, the world should be happy that we're here because they're being fed and watered because what God is giving us. And the overflow abundance he gives to his sons is for the rest of the world. We're not greedy. We're not going to take it all. We're going to let them have it. Because our Father's supply has no end. See? They should be happy that God is feeding his chosen sons. They should be overwhelmed by it. And he said they will. They will. In their time, they'll come to it. This people I formed for myself. He's not talking about the world. And all these people in the kingdom message that's running around saying everybody is first fruit sons of God. Don't know what they're talking about. That don't make anybody any better. It means you have more responsibility as a mature son. That's exactly what it means. Maturity means responsibility. He said, but I've chosen, I've formed these people for myself, and they shall declare my praise. See? He didn't say they might. They're gone to. They're going to declare it. And then he comes back and says, but you have not called upon me, Jacob. He again, now this is not talking about his first fruit. He's talking about Jacob. He said, Jacob, you didn't call upon me. Because you have been or have grown weary of me, Israel. You got tired. There's no place to get tired in God, is there? What would it have been if Jesus had got tired before he carried that cross to the Mount Golgotha? Huh? He had a destiny and he knew that destiny. It's not yet my time. I can't go anywhere till I fulfill the purpose of my Father. Do you think you're any different? You're no different than he was. Jesus was the first of many brethren. Right? Many-membered body of Christ. You've got to understand this in yourself and know that you're going nowhere until you fulfill the purpose God put you on this earth for. That's why he says, fear not. And when you have fulfilled your purpose, where else would you want to be? Except back with your Father. And see, the only reason we fear going back to God because our memory is no good. Our memory can't remember what we had with God before the foundation of this world. Didn't the book say you were with me before the foundation of the world? Jacob, he said, didn't he say to Job? Job, weren't you right there when the morning stars sung together? Huh? Come on. We were there. Didn't he say in Ephesians, I chose you before the conception of the world? Hey, come on. We were there. But our memory can't pull it back yet. That's okay. But all we got to do is believe what God said and know that what he said is the truth. That's all we got to do. He said, you have not brought me small cattle of your burnt offerings. Neither have you honored me with your sacrifices. He said, you can sacrifice all the stuff you want to. And I'm going to say things that will probably offend people, and I really don't care because it's the truth. You can go to church and do all your little tokens. You can rattle beads. You can jump up and down. You can take communion. You can do all these things that the church says is necessary to know God and to please God. All these little mini sacrifices that man has come up with. None of them will fulfill you. He said right here, you have not honored me with your sacrifices. There's no honor to God with you giving him something. God doesn't need anything. He said the only thing he wants out of you is obedience. Didn't he say that? I don't want your sacrifice, I want your obedience. What father does not want his children to obey him? Same natural, same spiritual. He said, I have not caused you, and really it should say, I have not enslaved you with prayer, or to serve, excuse me. I have not caused you to serve or enslaved you with an offering. I have not enslaved you. I didn't tell you you had to do that. Remember what I said? When Abraham gave the first tithe in Genesis 14, did God tell him to?
No.
He gave from himself what he desired to do. See, God didn't make this up. Man, Abraham did it from his heart, from his spiritual man. And guess what? Law come along and said, hey, let's make it a law. Just like religion does in all the other doctrines they got. He said, nor did I weary you with prayer. Did you see that? He didn't weary you with prayer. He didn't tell you to do all this sacrificing and praying. Who did? Who did that? Religion did it, first external, and then it got into the internal, and we suck it up and use it. God didn't. Take Jesus for an example. How many times did he pray in the New Covenant? I bet you can count them on one hand and have fingers left over. And when he prayed, he said, Father, this is not for me, this is for them, so that they know that you and I are one and we have a relationship. See that? That's amazing. That goes against the grain of the teaching of the church, doesn't it? But that's what the book says. I didn't weary you with this stuff. Man's done it to us. And we've stood back because we haven't been aggressive enough to study in the church for more truth. We've been satisfied. We get comfortable. And we get comfortable. The human beast loves comfort. I do too. I love it. But I have to watch it get me in trouble if I don't watch it. See, got to stay. Didn't he say to be a watchman on the tower, watchman on the wall? So you got to be on guard all the time because it's coming. That enemy is not coming at you; it's in you, and it's staying right there. It's beating at you all the time. Even when Jesus was in the desert, it says he was out there 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted of the devil, wasn't he? That thing right there between his ears, that carnal mind. And at the end of the temptation, it said angels came and comforted him, didn't they? And the devil did what? Departed him for a season. I didn't say he left and never come back, did it?
No.
For a season means he just went away a little bit, letting his mind rest, and that temptation was right back there. As long as you're alive, that temptation in your mind is going to be there. Don't ever think you're going to get away from it as long as you're drawing breath in this physical body. Jesus didn't. How can you?
Now, his prayer was communion.
Sure it was. A common union with him and God.
Your Father.
Yes. And we are too.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've got to have that same thing. And see, I'm not telling you not to communicate with your Father.
Right.
I'm just saying what the church teaches
right.
is not right.
Right.
You still need to, and that's what prayer is. It's communion.
Communion.
Sure it is.
I think they missed the mark on that too.
I know they do. I don't think about it. I know it. You're right, Daddy. They do. Okay. Verse 24. You have brought me no... The word is, it's an aromatic reed, a sweet-smelling cane, they call it in King James, with silver. What's silver speak of?
Redemption.
See? I mean, I know it's they say money, silver can relate to that, but in symbolism, silver is redemption. So you're not bringing me anything redeemed. Neither have you filled me with the fat. That's a bad choice of words. It's the choicest part of your sacrifices. They were talking about the beast. Now, the beast, the choicest part of a cow or something would be the tenderloins, wouldn't it? Right? Okay. But they had to take the inward parts and sacrifice to God. Now, we're not talking about today like we take the filet mignons. We're not talking about that. But what do they take out of the beast that they offered back then? The heart, the liver, the kidneys, those things out of the inner part. And see, what's God saying? The only sacrifice that you didn't bring me was your own heart, your inner being. That's the only thing God wants. We're all looking to these external things. And what he said, you didn't bring me those the best of your offerings. The only offering you can give God that he wants is right in here. It's not about finances. It's not about cattle and sheep and doves and stuff like that. It's about what's within us. That's what he wanted. He said he planted himself within us, within the earth. And that's what he wants a tithe from. He wants this back. A full open expression. God, help us. But you have made me to serve with your habitual sinfulness. It's easier to give money than give ourselves. It's easy to throw the money away. You have worried me with your iniquities, your perversity, your perverseness. I am he that blots out, that blotted out, should be blotted. It's already done. When was your sin forgiven?
Before
the conception of the world. He said, I blotted it out for my own sake. Had nothing to do with you, did it? I blotted out everything you did. I don't even care about it anymore. Didn't he say, don't remember the former things? Forget about it. That was what I did for my purpose. And I will not remember your habitual sinfulness. I won't even remember it. I will never call it. God said he will never recall it to your remembrance. Now your church folk will.
They must have missed verse 25.
Right? Yes, they did. Because God ain't going to do it, they will do it for him. They'll recall it. And he says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. You declare, in order that you, cross out that word mayest. He said, you declare, in order that you be justified. You know how you're justified? By declaring the work of God finished in your life. When you offer that inward best part sacrifice that you could give him, you're declaring to the world, my Father and I are one. And brother, that'll blow the hair off all the religious people. I don't care how much hairspray they got on it. It'll blow it off because they can't stand that. They'll be running out saying, heresy, 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 just like they did to Jesus when he said, I am. It blew them away. But see, that's not everybody. That's first fruit sons of God. And I'm not making the distinction. I'm just telling you that's what God said. The first fruit sons of God have something that others don't have because he gave them a double portion. I didn't make that up. He said it. Verse 27, your first father has missed the mark. We know Adam missed the mark, don't we? And your teachers, the word teacher is not a good rendering here. It should be your interpreters have what? Your interpreters have done something. What did they do? Literally say they broke away from authority. They broke away from authority. They made it the way they wanted it to. They made words say what they wanted the doctrines to say to fit what they thought versus saying what God said. And see, God never said, find a way that fits you. You're supposed to fit into the mold that he made. And if there's anything that don't fit in that mold, that means it should drop off to the floor and be thrown back in that big ball of mud and made into something else. But he's going to trim you to shape you the way he wants you. Therefore, this last verse has a real kick to it. Therefore, I have defiled the elders. That's what it should say. I have defiled the elders. He's talking about the natural temple. Okay, I've defiled all that natural stuff of the sanctuary. And I have given Jacob to the curse. Jacob is a natural man. What is the curse? The carnal mind. What does the carnal mind represent?
Death.
Death. So he can just say this, I'm giving Jacob up to die. Hello? That's all he's saying. I'm giving Jacob up to die. The natural man's going to die. We know that, don't we? Sooner or later, he's going to die. This body is not eternal. And Israel to reproaches. So Jacob's the first man, Adam. And the second man here, Israel, is Christ. The last man, I should say. Not the second man, but the last man. And it said he gave him up to reproaches. That word literally is not reproaches. It's similar, but the word literally in the Hebrew should say revilings. And remember in 1 Peter 2 and 23 what it says? Let me read it to you. We're near the end of this one. Let me go to Peter and read it to you. 1 Peter 2:23. Let me read a couple verses prior to this. Verse 21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. If he suffered, guess what? What are we going to do, Mike? We're going to get some of that too, ain't we? That you should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't say anything back. He let them have their way. That was God's design and plan. When he suffered, he threatened not, but surrendered himself to him that judges righteously. Remember what I said about the sacrifice, the best part of the choicest part of the sacrifice was the inward part of the beast. The heart. The mind. Who his own self bare our sin, not sins plural, but our sin, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Because you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your spirit. The overseer of your spirit. Brother, if that isn't any more clear than that, I don't know what it could be. Any questions or comments? I'm not going to back and review because I've said enough.